T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
First down at the Houston 28-yard line. Minshew in the gun with Fournette to his right. Here's the snap. Minshew with a little time now. Pocket collapsing and Merciless has him down. Is the ball out? Texans fighting for it. Jags have it. First and 20 for the Jags from their 20. Minshew calling signal. Here's the snap. Minshew looking. Here comes Merciless, and Whitney brings him down. The ball is out. Another scrum. The Texans say they have it, and they do!
J.J. Watt with the recovery right there. That's how it sounded on Texans radio, and what a moment that was at NRG yesterday. What's up, Texans fans? What's up, Houston? Rick Hamla and Clint Sterner here on a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light on Texans radio. And Clint, Whitney Merciless, 3 sacks, has a pick. 2 strip sacks yesterday. That one, that last one you heard, was scooped up by J.J. Watt and set up that Deshaun Watson touchdown run on 4th down. Absolutely amazing performance. And Whitney Merciless, Clint, has been one of the best defensive players in the league through 2 weeks. And with all this conversation around the city of Romeo Crennel not using guys appropriately, what would you say about his usage of Whitney Merciless so far?
Look, I think, I mean, the use of Whitney Merciless has been flawless, truth be told. I mean, now, week one was, it's a little bit of I urged everybody out there to, just pump the brakes a little bit on making a decision on this defense and what you see based off of New Orleans. That's a different animal and how you want to approach those guys. And Whitney had a hell of a game. So as we're talking about Whitney, he still balled out. But the whole system and the approach and the plan defensively was totally different because of Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara, which are two of the best at their respective positions in the league and the most aggressive play caller and arguably offense in the league, maybe outside of Kansas City as far as being aggressive. So I think he's used Whitney Merciless really, really good, and the numbers show it.
And they certainly do. Now, in terms of Merciless being back to his more natural spot, a couple of sound bites for you right here. First, it's Whitney Merciless talking about the switch from the defense last year with Clowney to the defense this year and his role in it without Clowney.
Now I get to go ahead and go out there and go tee it up, do what I do best and get after the quarterback, cause turnovers and all that. So it's been fun. It's been fun. I enjoy it.
He's mentioned it several times about wanting to get back to what he does best, and ultimately, we can say that. You know, he can say it. Bill O'Brien can say it. J.J. Watt can say it. Everybody can talk about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that Whitney Merciless had 12 sacks. But until you actually see the adjustments on the field and see how Whitney Merciless is going to respond to playing without Clowney and with Watt, how is Rack going to use all of these players to the best of their ability, until you see the results on game day, it's all just talk. It's all smoke and mirrors. And what you've seen up to this point with Whitney Merciless, knock on wood, I hope it continues, but 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 interception. And I will say that again, that first game versus New Orleans was a little bit out of character because he didn't get a chance to rush as many times as he typically will in a game. So great stats, given the fact that game one was a little bit of a hybrid plan and maybe didn't highlight him in a pass rushing situation as much as they'll highlight him in that situation moving forward.
Whitney Merciless with the 3 sacks. He's tied for 3rd with a variety of players, but 1st in the league right now. And this is the entire NFL. Shaquille Barrett, who ruined Cam Newton last Thursday night, he's 1st with 4. Benson Mayowa of the Oakland Raiders has 3.5. And then Whitney Merciless, again, just off to just an unbelievable start. And J.J. Watt also talks about how Whitney Merciless is being used this year.
We've always known Whitney's an edge rusher. He's great off the edge. He can do different things off the edge. And so he's back at his natural position this year, and I think you're seeing the results of when he's at his proper place. And Hopefully he continues to do what he does. And they got a chip and double somebody. So it's nice to see him get home. And hopefully he can have many, many sacks.
Yeah, look, the question now moving forward is how our team's going to adjust to slow Whitney Mercilus down. I mean, you can't continue to let him rush the passer versus just one-on-one with a left tackle. They're going to have to, at the very least, chip him and account for him in protection. And when you start accounting for other guys, then J.J. Watt should get more opportunities. And, here's my take on Rack. You know, we can talk about the situations. I think the adjustments on both sides of the ball at halftime, or even in-game adjustments on both sides of the ball, have been extremely suspect. Mm. But when we talk about the system, I mean, I've heard a lot of talk over the last couple of weeks about Rack's system and how he uses guys. And it's 2 weeks. I know it's not an extended period of time. It's a small flash in the pan right now. But I said this after Clowney left and went to Seattle. I don't believe his best spot is one side of the ball, hand in the dirt, true 4-3 defensive end rushing the passer. He's got two tackles and he's got one sack. And that sack
in two games?
In two games. And wow. that sack was a run out of bounds sack, by the way. That he was blocked up. The whole entire front was blocked up. Andy Dalton ran to his left after holding the ball in the pocket forever and not finding anybody. And Clowney essentially pushed him out of bounds and he was slated a sack. That's it to this point. And so when you talk about those two games for the Jadeveon Clowney versus what you saw Jadeveon Clowney do in Rack's system, I would say that Rack did a hell of a job in highlighting Jadeveon Clowney over the last few years as far as moving him around and getting him opportunities and using his strengths to the fullest. Now that Whitney Mercilus is there, I think as you talk about individual players, you talk about Whitney Mercilus. Now, you hadn't seen Whitney be successful the same way that Jadeveon Clowney's been successful. They're two different monsters, right? And so now you see a lot more games played, a little more creativity with Whitney because you've got to because he's not as physically dominating as
how about that
as
spin cycle?
Yeah,
that he put on. That was sack number two, right? Wasn't that the Watt fumble recovery?
Yeah. It's really, really nice. The point is that I'm getting at, and I can dig into Whitney if you want to, and they're getting a lot of mileage off of, whether it's just getting the middle of the protection, that whether it's Reader, Watt, or Blackson, those guys are getting a lot of push up front. They're not giving the quarterback anywhere to push up in the pocket, and then Whitney's using his speed rush over the top, and he's getting home a lot. And they're getting a lot of mileage out of that play call, essentially. But back to the original point is, Rack, I think, is definitely a lot of conversation about his system and whether he's going to be able – he deserves to be saluted at this point. Again, relative to using players to their strengths. I mean, he used, to this point, after two games in Seattle, Jadeveon Clowney was used more effectively, according to his skill set, in Houston than how he's being used right now, statistically and if you watch the game and watch how they're using him. Whitney Mercilus moved positions. The system was tweaked, and he's getting home to the tune of three sacks, two forced fumbles, and an interception. So you can't do anything but take your hat off to the way that Rack is using and adjusting to those certain personnels.
Can we go ahead and retroactively give the front office and the whole regime with the Texans a little bit more credit for the Clowney trade? I mean, I get it. Does it work?
That.
Well, hold on a second. Does it work dollar for dollar, like draft picks and players per Clowney? No, it doesn't. But like I've said, you can't pay Watt, Hopkins, Watson, Tunsil, Clowney, and all these other guys. You had to make a call. And the way Rack used Clowney, the way Rack is now using Mercilus, look, the first game against the New Orleans Saints, I felt at times like, man, they could really use Jadeveon Clowney out there. I did not have that feeling one time watching yesterday's game.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way. I'm not going to ever attempt to defend allowing Jadeveon Clowney, that caliber player, to get out of the Houston Texans locker room for what they got in return, period. There's no way. I don't care if you could afford all those guys or not. There's no positive spin on that particular transaction. It's impossible. But we're talking about Rack's ability to use what he's got in-house and do more with less. I think that's a very disrespectful way to say it. I shouldn't have used that term. But essentially, as you hear people talk, Whitney Mercilus is not as dominant and as athletic and as freakishly talented as Jadeveon Clowney. But going in there, and in this system, he's putting up numbers. Why? Because Rack's using him
yeah.
and putting him in position to be successful over and over and over again.
You know what, though, Clint? You're kind of beating yourself up a little bit for that choice of words. I don't think you should, because doing more with less, A, is a compliment to Romeo Crennel, but doing more with less is exactly what's going on here, because Merciless was still there, just moved to a different spot. It's now Brennan Scarlett and or Dylan Cole on the field instead of Jadeveon Clowney. And God bless those ball players, but that's where doing more with less comes into play.
Well, yeah,
that transaction.
Yeah, no, that you're nailing the head. I mean, look, I mean, I don't think we'd be foolish to sit here and say that Whitney Merciless is the same type of athlete that Jadeveon Clowney is. They're two different monsters. And like you said, I think if you go too deep, you got Whitney and JD, and versus this year, you've got Whitney and Scarlett. I mean, there's clearly
who played very well yesterday.
Yeah, he played very well. And so again, I don't want to get too far off in the weeds on this thing, but my point in all of this is that I think there was a lot of speculation. There was a lot of unwarranted probably doubt, I guess, and negative conversations around Rack's ability. I hear people say that he didn't use Clowney right, and I'm like, what? What the hell are you talking about? In one second you're talking about the stats that Clowney was able to put up, and you're sending me rundowns of tackles for loss and sacks and how that's, you know, top. You combine those two and it's top three or top five in the league over the last however many years, and then the next time you're telling me the defensive coordinator didn't use him right. No, he used him right, and I think there's, again, even though it's been a small sample size, I think you're seeing him used in a true 4-3 hand in the dirt in Seattle, and it's just not the same. Not yet. He may adjust, and I may be completely off my rocker at this point in time, but I believe Jadeveon Clowney's a better 3-4 outside linebacker that you can move around in a hybrid-type role than he is defensive end hand in the dirt.
So it's Clinton Kamla here on a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light, and it's Texans Radio right now reacting to the 13-12 gut-wrenching victory yesterday at NRG Stadium to even the record at 1-1. Now, we'll have to agree to disagree on this in terms of the Clowney transaction to Seattle and all of the ripple effects of it and all the octopus tentacles of it. To your point, it's tough to positively spin that. But I understand why they did it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to like, hey, great move, guys, but I understand why they did it. So I ask this question to you. Does the hot start by Merciless ease your frustrations with the Clowney transaction with Seattle based on that dollar-for-dollar imbalance with the trade?
I mean, does it ease? No. Nothing's going to ease the frustration of letting that caliber player walk and get.
How about a Lombardi
return.
Trophy? How about a parade?
No.
How about champagne?
No.
How about if I'm spraying champagne?
No. I mean, I'll be happy about that. But at the end of the day, nothing's going to offset that particular issue. That the way that went down, the exchange, the value that went walked out the door versus the value that walked in. That no way, shape, or form can you twist that. Can you turn that and go, yeah, that was a good idea. Now, look, I've got on record, I got to go digging through social media, but I got on record where I'm going back and forth with the guy about I believe that Whitney will get double-digit sacks in this system, which is something that Clowney was never able to do.
Why would somebody not believe that theory? I mean, that's a very realistic theory.
It's not about not believing, it's back and forth about who will have a better year and who fits better where and how guys are used. I think I was a firm believer in that this defense would be able to get after the quarterback and have a guy in Whitney Merciless that could get after the quarterback. And I believe that this group of seven guys up front, six or seven, depending on how many in the box, but this front was going to be able to stop the run regardless of whether Jadeveon Clowney's in there or Whitney Merciless is in there. These guys, it's a seven-man show to stop the run, and now you've got a piece that is not as disruptive, but can still get after the passer with this defense. And I'm not ever going to try to paint the picture that the Jadeveon Clowney move was a positive move in any way, shape, or form, outside of just getting beyond it. Just get beyond it, get it over with one way or another.
It was a divorce that needed to happen.
Yeah, it was a distraction. Other than that, I'm not putting a positive spin on it. On the flip side of it, Rack has been able to use Whitney in a way to overcome losing and a big-time player out of this defensive front. And this defensive front's going to be okay without Jadeveon Clowney.
Look, Zach Cunningham was an absolute monster yesterday. The plays that I wrote down on my chart sheet, the blitz sack in the first quarter, First drive of the game, as a matter of fact. A couple of physical tackles. There was one on their second drive of the game. He literally just bear hugged Fournette and dropped him. Then there was another bear hug tackle that was early third quarter. And maybe the most clutch tackle of all that he had, Clint, was on under 3 minutes to go. Jacksonville is driving on the drive that they actually ended up scoring that touchdown. But on third and short, it is Zach Cunningham, 41, who comes up and makes a really clutch tackle to set up fourth and one, which Fournette got. But that was a gift. He did not reach the line to gain on. This is just like a quick aside analysis from your boy Cam. He was short of the line to gain on fourth and one. All of the rest of that drive should have never taken place, in my opinion. And Bill O'Brien, great job challenging that spot. It was a terrible spot by the side judge. And obviously he lost the challenge and lost a timeout. And I'm not worried about that. You had to challenge that play because that spot was BS. All right, back to our story.
Where are you going with this?
Back to our story. I just had to get that off. I just had to get that off my chest.
I thought we were talking about Zach Cunningham. We are.
Okay, go ahead. I had to get that off my chest. Now, back to third and short. When Cunningham was the guy that stoned Leonard Fournette, he had 10 tackles, and Zach Cunningham was arguably the player of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about players of the game, but he had a hell of a game. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this guy's ability to cover sideline to sideline, Rick, is special. And it flashes. When he goes and makes a tackle, it flashes. When he has a great game, you know it. There's a lot of times when you're talking about linebackers that you go, you got to look at the stat sheet and go, damn, old boy had 14 tackles. That's a good game. With Zach Cunningham, that ain't the case. If Zach Cunningham has 9, 10, 11 tackles, you see 7 or 8 of them. Like it's flying through the air. It's a blur on the screen. It's a defender coming out of nowhere and taking a running back or a receiver off of his cleats. I mean, and look, Zach Cunningham, no doubt about it, had a big time game. In a moment, look, when quite frankly they needed it, this defense stepped up big time. When you take into consideration that the offense was off balance all day long, the offense was off track all day long. It was, whether you're talking about the game clock mismanagement or the time using the timeouts, not using the timeouts. You're talking about, you know, Deshaun not being able to connect down the field, not being able to keep drives alive. It was a tough outing for the offense, and the defense bailed him out.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And Bill O'Brien had high praise for Zach Cunningham after leading the team with 10 tackles in the win on Sunday.
He played a great football game. I mean, he was all over the place. I mean, I haven't even met with the coaching staff, but I would assume that he would probably get a game ball. And if he doesn't, I'll give him one. I mean, he played a great football game. He's an instinctive player. He tackled well. He covered well. He blitzed well. And it's one of the best games he's played since he's been here. Now, you know, he's going to probably read those quotes, and we're going to have to bring him back down to earth in the squad meeting. But he played a great football game.
Our little sarcasm there from Bill O'Brien at the end of that soundbite. Zach Cunningham strikes me as a level-headed dude. I think he's grounded. I don't think he's going to let that success in one football game go to his head and all that kind of stuff. But, Clint, you've heard a lot more Bill O'Brien sound than I have. Is that like rare and sort of out of to hear him go on in such a positive light about a guy? Or, you know what I mean? Because there are some other sound bites that I heard from the presser today and the presser yesterday. And, you know, he's like, yeah, he did a decent job. Yeah, he was okay. You know, trying to just kind of not gas the dude up too much and just kind of play it straight as a coach. But he went out of his way to praise Zach Cunningham in that soundbite.
Well, I think as an offensive coach, I think he's very aware of his struggles, the offense's struggles, and the fact that you just won a 13-12 game, really riding the coattails of the defense. I mean, the defense got you a turnover at an opportune time that turned into points. This defense carried this football team in a way that you don't see a defense carry a football team very many times in today's NFL. And so I think the fact that Bill O'Brien, being an offensive guy, is I think that's why he didn't hesitate to point out and go on about how good of a game Zach Cunningham had. And when you look at the stat sheet, it was a good game. When you watch the game from the sideline, it was a great game. It was very obvious that Zach Cunningham was out there balling. And so, yeah, I think that's why Bill O'Brien would go on and on about Zach Cunningham in a post-game press conference.
So let's have a quick conversation here about Brennan Scarlett. He had a strip sack early in the ball game. It was recovered by Jacksonville. He also, I'm reading my notes, had a nice tackle of a tight end. in the second quarter. Just open field, took the dude down, and there wasn't a whole lot of yardage after the catch with that. And you know, he had that. There was a third down. Jacksonville's deep in their own territory, and Minshew's backpedaling. It was the pressure by Brennan Scarlett that made him throw that pass. If Leonard Fournette is wide open in the left flat, he's looking at 20 yards easy, and the throw sailed over him because of the pressure by Brennan Scarlett. I thought Scarlett played terrific yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think he played a good game. I think he's the one that gets pulled every time they go nickel. So anytime the offense goes three receivers, it seems that Brennan Scarlett's running to the sideline, and Lonnie Johnson yesterday was running in the game. So he had a good game. I think the defense all the way around had a good game. There's a lot of guys, unsung heroes, so to speak, on this defensive unit, especially up front, that played a great game.
So J.J. Watt, his presence was felt as well. And when you hear this sound about the referees seeing a holding call and not calling the holding call, well, you're going to hear J.J. Watt and what he had to say about that next on Clinton Camel as we continue Texans Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.